This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Melbourne, and welcome into the locker room. Joining us tonight, my co-host, Michael Smith. Hello.
It's great to be here, Rolly.
And whether you're out there in your car or your tram, we're going to bring you a great conversation and some good music tonight. And this is your show about sport and our community. So, Smithy, what have we got on tonight?
Well, believe it or not, Rolly, the Ashes are on again, 6 months after Australia lost them in England, or barely that. So we're going to chat to Duncan Irvine. He's from Grace's Cricket Club in London, which is a gay-friendly cricket team, and we're going to get his perspective from the other side of the world.
We never did get round to starting the Gashes. Was that what we were going to do?
We're going to have an Australian gay team play their team.
Yeah, we never really got it together, but we should. But I think we've got Jason Ball on tonight, who's going to be organising something in that field.
He's looking into the idea of Melbourne having a gay AFL team, and you know, it's a bit unusual. We have lots of other gay teams, but in this AFL obsessed town, we don't have a gay AFL team.
I'm going to ask him whether we actually need one. That's what I think. You know, like maybe. I know you're looking at me puzzling.
No,
but, you know, I mean,
it's a hard hitting question, Rolly.
So I'm going to hit Jason Ball with a hard hitting question.
I think that's great. That's what we want to have on the locker room. Speaking of hard hitting, we have Monumental to talk about the Victorian Roller Derby final, which is on this weekend. And that is a hard-hitting sport, Rolly.
Well, I was just talking to you before, so have you landed on your roller derby name yet?
I reckon Gingivitis.
Gingivitis. I'm going to go Radiator.
Radiator. Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. It's got something to do with cars, you know. We always have problems with your radiator.
I'm not loving it.
No,
but that's okay. You know, we've got time to think about that. We're going to have the usual A-League roundup from Adam, and we're going to have your roundup as well. But now I think it's time for Rolly's roundup.
One of nine new stadiums currently being built in Qatar ahead of the 2022 World Cup has been likened to a giant vajayjay after plans were unveiled today. According to architects, the design of the Al Wakarari Stadium was inspired by the flowering shape of a dhow, which is a traditional sailing vessel used for pearl divers and fishermen in the region for centuries. So, yes, a giant vajayjay.
I've never seen one in the flesh. I wouldn't know what they looked like anyway.
Well, there's one now that can seat 45,000 people. Guardian writer Holly Baxter, a co-founder and editor of Vajinda blog, applauded the design, unintentional or not. She said, in The Guardian, perhaps the big wigs behind the design, and big exclamation marks, no doubt all male, should embrace this so-called faux pas and rebrand it as a delicate nod towards the increasingly liberal Qatari policies concerning women in sport, she wrote. She also went on to say, in a world where sport and vaginas really come together with such prominence, this can only be a good thing. And after all, why not have 45,000 people crammed into a woman's reproductive system? It's not like they haven't been there before. What do you think?
I want to see this stadium now.
You're quite sick. Yeah. Oh, they're also going to have spongy seats, which is kind of interesting as well.
I thought gays weren't welcome in Qatar, though.
They're not.
Seth Blatter told us all to be quiet, not to be gay while we're there. Just don't hold hands in public or kiss each other.
But if you were gay, what better place to hide out than a giant vagina?
Yeah, they're never gonna look for you there, are they?
No. Run to the giant vagina. The 2022 World Cup has been beset, of course, with controversy. FIFA, look, I don't know if I'm that sales and roll. It sounded like the whole thing was rigged and there was lots of bribes going on. Basically, Qatar's been given the World Cup for 2022 with temperatures during the middle of the day are over 40 degrees. Imagine playing a football game in a stadium that's cooking.
Shaped like a vagina. Yeah. Look, I think they are in negotiations to change the World Cup to winter, but it plays havoc with the Northern Hemisphere football schedule and the usual club schedule. So they have to work all that out. But they've got, you know, 9 years to sort it.
Oh, yeah. Soccer, Lucas Neal, last night. led the Socceroos to a 1-0 victory against Costa Rica. Sounds like he's the 35-year-old's probably going to keep his job for a little bit longer. He was, however, reportedly exchanging angry words with sections of the crowd at Allianz Stadium in Sydney last night a couple of times, but he won't answer questions on it. So sounds like the media frenzy or the media pressure has been getting to him.
We should ask Aaron about that later on.
Well, it sounds like his old mate, who used to be his best friend, Mark Bosnick, has pretty much come out and slammed him, saying people come and pay their money. They can basically do whatever they want, except they can't do anything illegal, but they can shout and scream whatever they like. That's their right.
That's my father's approach to AFL games, I have to say.
Isn't that funny,
Mark? I paid my ticket. I'm going to scream and shout whatever I like.
Well, I can't see why Mark Bosnick's come out such a critic of Lucas Neal, because they were such mates before, but he's come out and sort of any time Lucas Neal opens his mouth, he goes completely opposite to it, so...
Mm. Every time Lucas Neal opens his mouth, I sort of swoon a little bit.
Oh, really?
I think he's pretty all right.
Can't help but talk about Kevin Peterson, since we're talking about the Ashes and he's in the country. It's kind of funny that you two are going to have something in common. Kevin Peterson has taken aim at Brisbane, saying no one outside of Australia has heard of the city and he would rather watch paint dry than experience what it has to offer. So what do they say about Brisbane? Nice one day, good day the next or something. It's sunshine... blah, blah, blah. But Kevin Peterson does.
Brisneyland, Bris Vegas, oversized country town. It's all been said.
The South African-born cricketer yesterday took exception to the Courier Mail's front page. So here he was, Courier Mail, that's Rupert Murdoch's piece. He has a pineapple under his arm, a Reds jersey on, a cane tone on his right sleeve, a Bundaberg rum behind him with a wig on. So the Courier Mail's put him on the front there. Anyway, he's taken exception to that and tweeted to his 1.4 million Twitter followers, which is pretty incredible. Of course, Peterson last year controversially spoke his mind, telling the his mates in South Africa and the South African cricket team how to bowl the English his own English players out. So sounds like a bit of a knob, actually.
This is all just mind games, isn't it? We're going to have to ask our friend in England about this.
Yeah, well, I think so. We'll have to see what he actually thinks. And to round it up, clap, clap to Ewan McKenzie. The Wallabies players went out on the piss, and basically he's kicked out half the team.
Including the two wingers who've been scoring all their tries. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out for them. But he's been applauded by most of the sort of senior rugby establishment, the past players and commentariat. They're all saying he's taking a stand about cultural issues that his predecessor Robbie Deans was simply unwilling to do.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you know, you seem to get coaches in Australia with the homework scandal with the cricketers, and now we've got the drinking escapades, which was always a big part of the rugby culture.
But... Adam Ashley Cooper's mum actually went on radio and said that she thought it was all very unfair. You just never want your mum going on radio complaining about the way you've been treated, especially if you're a rugby player, you know, tough rugby player defended by mum.
Leave my son alone. Well, that is your roundup for this week. You're on Joy 94.9.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9. Rolly, with the Ashes about to begin tomorrow in Brisbane, the Aussies are hoping that this will not be a repeat of the thrashing they copped in the middle of this year. The Palms have been talking up their chances, as we've heard, but we think it's time the Ashes probably can return back down under again where they belong. We're going to be joined now by Duncan Irvine. He's from Grace's Cricket Club, which is an inclusive cricket club based in London, and he probably wouldn't agree that the Ashes should return to Melbourne. So, Duncan, welcome back to the locker room.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back. It's a very gloomy, wet, miserable morning here in London.
Oh, so it's not really cricket weather there over in Old Bloody?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Duncan...
Well, maybe, we may be looking for rain at some point during some of the tests.
Oh, well, I don't know.
You'll get that during the Melbourne test, I think.
Duncan, are you guys feeling confident ahead of the first test?
Very nervous, to be quite honest, I think. And I guess that will perhaps be what decides the test, which team is the more nervous. I think they're both, I think they're both good cricket sides. I would say, personally, wouldn't I, that England are the better side, certainly on paper, but... it's a question of nerves, and once one wicket falls, if you then lose three, then that's what can decide test matches.
Are the Brits seeing it as a... well, they won't be seeing it as a bit of a foregone conclusion. I just wonder, I suppose home ground advantage is probably going to play into our side, isn't it?
Oh, I think you may have a few supporters there, yes. Although I suspect there'll be some loud English ones as well. But yes, yeah, so home side should be to your advantage. I think over here, in general, people are expecting England to win, which is a slightly worrying side, of course.
Well, the last thing you want to be is, you know, the favourite in cricket, it seems.
Absolutely. It's much better being an underdog and then winning.
Does the ascension of George Bailey into the Australian Test team in his 30s, does that sort of give hope to backyard hackers worldwide who are, you know, struggling to make their mark in the game?
Yes, I think so. You know, I think that someone like that would probably be able to cope with nerves better than some up-and-coming youngsters who will have a point to prove. I mean, he's probably a lot more settled as a person, you know, and probably better able to cope with it.
Well, he actually said to the media the other day that he felt that he wasn't nervous about a game of cricket. There was something wrong, and he would be just as nervous playing a test at the Gabba as he would playing in a club game in Launceston.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, we'll have to see about that. You'd just be kidding, I suspect.
Duncan, question from left field. Have you ever heard of Brisbane?
Brisbane, yes. It's a little town in Australia.
Oh, well, there you go. Well,
And it has a cricket ground, I think.
Yeah, well, small little cricket ground on the side of the Brisbane River. It's about a population of about 10,000, a few kangaroos down the main street as well. But
absolutely, yeah.
That South African fella from probably Johannesburg or somewhere wherever he's from has said that nobody in England's ever heard of Brisbane, and I suppose on his Twitter account this morning. Are you following Peterson on his Twitter?
I don't follow Twitter, I'm afraid. I can't cope with these things.
Oh, Twitter. Well, you've got to get up to speed with your hashtags and your at symbols. But, yeah, look, he's come out today. He's really revved up the media over here. He's come out saying that nobody's heard of Brisbane and of course, starting to wind people up. What is the general opinion of Kevin Peterson over there?
I think Kevin Peterson's a showman, you know. There are things one doesn't like about what he says some of the time, but on the other hand, he enjoys himself. He says what he thinks. He likes winding people up, and he makes people more interested in what's going on. So, yeah, I think he's fine. I mean, it's nice that such an English player.
English, yeah. English.
Well, sort of. He is temporarily anyway. Is busy winding the Aussies up because you're quite good at winding other people up as well.
Now, I imagine Graces are on a winter break at the moment, but when you do travel and go on tour, do you have sort of like your catering demands sorted out well in advance? Like, do you get your quinoa and your smoked salmon and, you know, your caviar kind of all packaged up to go with you travel?
Yeah, I mean, Harrods are really good. You know, we have a butler who would travel with us, who would handle all that sort of stuff. Nothing but the best for Graces.
Duncan, you probably don't know where Smithy's hinting towards this. I don't know if you realise, but the English cricket players arrived with an 86-page dossier of...
Absolutely.
Yes, I mean, the fish and chips and, you know, salad of the day and a snag and a bread were no good for them at the MCG. It's kind of an interesting dietary requirement, see.
I know. That was one of the most embarrassing things I have ever read in my life about cricket. It was utterly ridiculous, I think. And they forget great players in the past like Colin Cowdrey and Mike Gatting, who were hardly on diets, nevertheless managed to play brilliant cricket. I think they're so over the top with all these advisors and things that they have a tendency to stop people playing the natural games, the things that made them famous. They're trying to make people into machines, and I just see that as frankly, a bit silly, and I think they should have apologised for that. It's a very demanding list that they have.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have David Boone, you know, sinking about 25 cans on the plane on the way to London, and Dougie Walters having a ciggy during the drinks break. I mean, is the game becoming a bit bland? Are we losing? I mean, people like Kevin Peterson get jumped on. Are we in risk of losing the characters, and we just get, you know, more people like Michael Clarke who kind of have good-looking girlfriends, but not much more to sort of say about them?
Sure, I think that is a danger, you know, because people remember the characters of cricket, you know. They remember Ian Botham, who was hardly a model cricketer in a way, but they bring excitement to the game because they dare to be different. And Peterson, that's what I like about him, whatever I think of him as a person. I mean, that he provides bums on seats, as it were.
Duncan, we've had a question in from a listener, Alan in Northcote. He's wondering, isn't it unfair that hasn't England already really won the Ashes? You know, do they really need to come here and play again? Isn't it a bit silly to play twice in a row?
No, not at all. I mean, if that were the case, I think there'd be plenty of seats to be had. And I imagine all the matches have been sold out. And for all the talk, England, if I recall, have only won, I think, about four of something like 19 tests played in Brisbane. So, it's quite a worrying time, this first test match.
And
England have a tendency to lose the first match of a tour.
And are there any players on the England team other than Kevin Peterson you think we should look out for? Maybe some new additions to the team?
You mean good-looking players, or you mean...
Oh, just good cricketers even? Oh,
Duncan, I mean, we're all about the talent here. Well, the physical talent.
If the two could be combined into one athlete, that's just a bonus, really.
Easy on the eye, I think, is perhaps the word. Well, I don't know. Young Root, I think, has great potential. But I suspect he'll be quite nervous.
I like the sound of that. Young, did you say Young Root?
Root.
Young Root. Okay, well, we'll have to keep an eye out for him.
We'll have to root for Root.
Duncan, if anybody's flying over to London or trying to catch up with Grace's, what have you guys got, a website or a local tavern that you have gin and tonic at? Or how can we get involved?
Just look up Grace's Cricket on Google or something. It's www.gracescricket.org.uk. And I mentioned before, the last time I was on, about the gay Ashes that we were thinking about. And we're moving ahead a bit with this. We're going to ask for help from the ECB and the Aussie Cricket Board. And we'd like any Australians in London to contact us if they're interested in getting involved next season. And we've actually come up with a name. It will be the Gashes.
You are going to go with the Gashes. I like
Absolutely.
It. All right, we'll stay in touch with the locker room and, of course, Joy 94.9, and we'll keep pushing it, and, of course, with our Aussie listeners over there in London. Thank you very much, Duncan, from Irving.
Thanks a lot.
No problems at all. You're in Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is Australia's first and only LGBTI community radio station, and this December, Joy turns 20 years old.
We're celebrating with a week-long party on air, full of great music, special guests and amazing prizes, and plenty of surprises too.
It all starts on Sunday, November 24th, and you're invited. Keep listening, looking online at joy.org.au, and follow Joy on social media for more details.
Hashtag Joy20.
Hashtag Joy20.
It's a celebration.
Weeknights on Joy 94.9. Sharing your passions.
Smithy, we have our Joy 20 birthday celebration show next week, which is pretty exciting. Very well timed, producer Adam. And of course, in addition to all the fun of our birthday celebration week, commencing this Sunday, we'll be crossing live to Adelaide for very special reports from the Feast Festival. Have you been to that before?
No, I haven't, but I like the idea of birthday celebrations.
It's a Feast Festival. What is it, food or...?
No, it's the Adelaide's Gay and Lesbian Festival.
Interesting, they called it Feast. Yes, so we are going to have a big celebration show next week. We're going to have Tim Tams, sparkling grape juice, and all that. So listen out for Joy presenters Sammy with an I and Sammy with a Y and Jeffrey this Sunday on Joy. Smithy, the AFL season is in its annual recess, but there is no doubt this town is obsessed with our national game.
Oh, I am anyway. I don't know about you, Rolly, but...
I'm getting into it. Don't worry about that, buddy.
I took you to one game. You sat through it.
Essendon being in the semis this year. In town where we have a gay soccer team, rugby team, water polo team, and, of course, the other various 24 teams under the Team Melbourne banner, it is perhaps a little bit odd we don't see a gay AFL team running around. Gay, lesbian... inclusive team, especially when you think of those showy tuny songs and those wonderful crepe paper banners at the MCG. Very Wonderful. Fantastic. Jason Ball will be known to many of our listeners as the public face of gay men playing footy. He joins us now to talk about his new initiative to get our community more involved in our great game. Jason, thanks for coming on to talk to us. Tell us more about this new initiative you've got running.
Yes, well, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. So what we've got planned here is to kick off the idea that we could have a gay only AFL team playing out there is, as part of Midsummer, we want to launch it with what we're calling a Rainbow Cup. So what we're hoping to have is two exhibition Aussie Rules football matches, one for men and one for women, consisting of teams made up of players from the GLBTI community. So we're hoping to, hold two full-length matches with 18 players each side as part of the Midsummer Sports Day on the 1st of February.
Now, we've got you, so that's one. Are we going to be able to find another 18 plus another 17 to get a game together?
Well, you got two. You got Smithy as well, Jason.
Oh, I'll play two. Yeah, sure.
Okay, good one. All right, we've got two. That's a good start.
Oh, make it three. You've talked me into it.
You don't even know the rules, Rolly.
I know how to handball.
You're going
to
throw the ball.
Handball. Punch it.
Hopefully we can teach you. And look, we are planning to hold a coaching clinic leading up to the event. But look, when it comes to Team Melbourne, which is the umbrella organisation for all the GLBTIQ sporting groups in Melbourne, AFL is actually one of the most requested sports that people want to play, being the home of footy, of course it is. So, hopefully with the database that they've got and obviously being the home of football, we are going to be able to get more people to come along. So we're kicking it off with an info session that I'd love to plug if you guys will indulge me.
I'll go for it. Go right ahead.
Sure. So on Saturday the 30th of November, so Saturday week at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're going to have an info session. So you don't have to commit, just come and show your interest and hear the game plan, I guess. So that's going to be at DT's Hotel in Richmond. And if you want more information, you can go to teammelbourne.org.au for that.
I have to ask, are you going to remain unbiased or are you going to have a bit of an allegiance or alliance with one of the AFL teams?
Well, I think definitely unbiased. I think the plan is at the moment to have sort of two separate teams. Obviously, we're wanting to make it as colourful as possible, and I think one of the jumpers will hopefully be a pride rainbow themed jumper. And then obviously, we have to come up with an idea for another jumper. At the moment, what we're thinking is to have that team in purple to represent Wear It Purple, obviously, which is the initiative to raise awareness about youth GLBTI mental health. So we'll have purple versus the rainbow, two teams there.
Should we here at the locker room help you come up with a name? We could run a bit of a SMS competition.
That sounds bloody brilliant.
All right. Well, we will start running that for you, Jason, and start giving you suggestions. So if you've got suggestions for a name for a gay AFL, of course, inclusive. So I'm assuming, Jason, whether you're gay or straight, you just want people that are inclusive can participate?
Yeah, it's hopefully players who are supportive of the GLBTI community. So that includes players who are GLBTI, but it could include straight allies as well.
Fantastic. So why don't you start SMSing 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au if you've got some names for these teams. So the first team, very colourful, very bright. We've got the rainbow colours. The second team is a purple. For some reason, I'm thinking Grimace. You know, that kind of Grimace purple. Smithy's looking at me quite
That's
funny.
How you'd look if you pulled on a purple jumper, I think, Rolly.
No, he didn't go there. Anyway,
Jason, tell us, how do you reckon a gay team might work in Melbourne? Like, we can have a one-off game, but do you think there's space in our sporting landscape, in our community, for a more permanent fixture on the gay sporting lineup?
I'm hoping that there is space for that. Obviously, working closely with the AFL on this initiative, and hopefully they'll be able to be part of the Rainbow Cup. When it comes to forming a team and playing in a regular league, I guess we're sort of looking for inspiration from the likes of the Melbourne Chargers, who have been able to piggyback off, an established club in the Melbourne Unicorns and play as sort of part of that. With AFL in Victoria, it's very much suburb-based. based. You know, you've got teams in each suburb, and there's a lot of rivalry between teams. And to start from scratch, you'd obviously, you know, it'd be near impossible. So we are hoping to form a partnership with a suburb or an existing football club that's willing to take us on board. So if we can get enough interest, if we can get enough players out and to have a kick as part of the Rainbow Cup, then I think moving forward and looking ahead into the season this year, you know, it'll get us off to a really great start.
Jason, thanks so much for joining us in the locker room this week. We'll catch up with you more next week during our celebration week. Great to talk to you. We've just had somebody in from Paran. What about the Paran Bears? So that may be a first one we'll chuck into the pot. I like that.
I like that.
And no problems at all. You're on the locker room on Joy 94.9.
It's Australia's own New Zealander, Cal Wilson here, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
18 minutes to 8, and you are, of course, in the locker room with Rolly and Smithy. We've been talking to Jason Ball about the new gay AFL teams. Of course, not just gay, but inclusive teams. We've had another one in, Smithy, the Rainbow Warriors. So what do we think about that?
Not bad, but keep the French Secret Service away from it, I think.
Oh, do you think they might be a Kiwi? Or they might know something about the Rainbow Warrior?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, there you go. You have to be born in 1984 to know about that. Smithy, we have somebody very... our producer's looking funny. I have to help you out here. The Rainbow Warrior was sunk in 1984. Now, Smithy, we have somebody very special on the phone.
Well, yes, because if you do want to see women shoulder charging, blocking and generally getting physical... then we're here to talk about roller derby. The Victorian Roller Derby League Grand Final is fast approaching, and we now have one of the skaters, Monumental, joining us on the locker room. So welcome.
Hello.
So the Grand Final is on this weekend. You must be pretty pumped.
Yes, yep. Really excited for it.
Monumental, what can listeners expect if they fork out the cash and head to the Darabin Stadium this week?
Well, they can expect some really close bouts. We've got two bouts happening. So there's the Toxic Avengers and the Dead Ringer Rosies, who I play for, playing for third and fourth place. And then following that, there'll be another bout with the Rock Mobsters and the Dolls of Hazard playing for first and second place. So two bouts. It'll be really close. It's been a really close year. The teams have been only separated by a few points on our ladder. So it'll be... tense and exciting and lots of fun.
So you just went through some pretty amazing names out there, and including your own Monumental. Where do all these come from?
So we each come up with our own name. It's usually something that's a pun, often based on pop culture or something. But not everybody uses a pseudonym. Like, a lot of people just use their own names as well. But yeah, I guess that's part of roller derby, is coming up with a fun name. And mine was just really, I was looking for words that my real name is Monica, so I was looking for words that started with Mon. And Mon.
Oh, you're not supposed to give your real name away. That's ruining the magic of it.
No.
Oh, it is. I just ruined the magic. But now, also, I kind of liked that pun. I'm a bit mental, so Monumental.
Now, for the listeners that joined us at the top of the hour and have continued through, Smithy suggested his was going to be gingivitis. How would you rank that? How would you rank that Monumental? I sort of get a bit of a shiver up my spine, but
yeah, it's a bit macabre, a bit gross. I like it.
Oh, a bit gross. I do.
Gross gingivitis. Isn't that something to do with bad breath, gum disease?
It's either that or a lingering affection for the red-headed kind.
Oh. So, I love it.
I'm hoping it's the latter.
Ah, there we go. So give us just some quick details, where it's at, when it's on, and how to get the tickets.
So it's at Darabin Community Sports Stadium, which is on Plenty Road in Reservoir. You can catch the 86 tram right to our door. It starts at 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 24th. You can get tickets from vrdl.brownpapertickets.com.
Oh, you're running your own ticket website. You're not going to go through the Ticket Tech or Ticket Market, the commercialism. We are going to run our own ticketing franchise.
No, it's not our own. Brown Paper Tickets is sort of I don't know, they're like an ethical ticket company.
Oh, good. There's egg on my face. There we go.
How very inner northern suburbs of Melbourne.
Yes, North Fitzroy with the brown paper tickets. I like that. Recycled paper and all that good stuff.
That's right, yes. But you can also check out our website, which is www.brdl.org.au.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Thanks, you Monumental, for joining us tonight on The Locker Room and bringing us up to speed with the grand final. It's been a great year for you guys, and
you'll be
able to chill out now over December, January months, keep the roller skates and the blisters off.
Well, we've actually got a boot camp over January, over Christmas and January.
So jeez, you guys are hardcore.
So if you're interested in, that's for newcomers, so if you're interested in giving Derby a shot,
yeah,
check out our website and you can do an intensive boot camp over Christmas and January.
Wow, it's like a never-ending season for you guys.
It is,
it's like cricket. Yeah. It just never stops. It's just always on.
So, we never stop.
So if you don't have roller skate, I assume you're a roller skate. Yes, that's right. Do you provide them and then, you know, people who haven't skated before and they can just come and do the boot camp?
Well, we don't, but we do have sort of a lending system. We've got sort of a, you know, a system where if people are starting and they don't have the gear that they need, we can lend some out.
But just rummage through the lost property.
Yeah. It all sounds very Northcote again, I reckon.
Yeah, it does very much. So awesome. Grand final and boot camp. Check out the website if you want to get involved in roller derby. And I think there is a boys team now.
There is. There is a men's team called the Victorian Vanguard.
The Vanguard.
Seen them yet,
yeah. We'll have to touch base with them and see how they're going.
You should.
Just trying to think about it.
Check them out.
Mm. Short shorts and roller skates might be your type of thing, Smithy.
Yeah.
you're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
And you're on the locker room on Joy 94.9. It's now time to talk about that other football code with a round ball. We're joined by our regular weekly round ball expert, Aaron. Welcome into the locker room again.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Oh, we're doing just fine.
Crowd's roaring.
There's some applause, but maybe that applause is for the Socceroos, who finally cracked it for a win last night.
Yeah, they did. They got up 1-0 against Costa Rica, so they played a bit better than they'd played in the past, a more attacking style of football. So everyone, from all reports, was quite happy with the performance. Just frying up some chicken in the background, so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Oh,
there we go. I mean, it all happens here on the locker room, fried chicken and coleslaw. Aaron, I don't really rate Costa Rica. I mean, is that really something to clap about and cheer about, or are they just a bit of a, you know, just make up the numbers type of team?
Oh, they've qualified for the World Cup. They're ranked 31 in the world. We're 57. So on
paper. All right. Egg on my face again. So we got, what do we
that's
got?
That's why you're the expert and Rolly's not.
Team 31. Well, there we go. I thought they were 210.
So tell us, is Ange Postecoglou the messiah? Is he going to turn this all around, or was that just a bit of a flash in the pan?
Look, the way they played last night, it was very much how he likes his teams to play. So it always takes a while for the teams to get to know his style of play. But obviously he's got better players in the national team. They seem to click a lot quicker than they do with his A-League teams. But, you know, it was pretty patchy in some areas. But there were some good signs, but they just have to make that more consistent.
So what, Lucas Neal's lost the plot, running up to people in the crowd and telling them what's what? Is the pressure of the media getting to him?
Seems that way, doesn't it? You know, if you're listening to what people are saying in the crowd and retaliating, then two things. Firstly, you need to get some thicker skin. And secondly, why aren't you concentrating on the game? Why are you listening to these, comments from the stands and trying to retaliate?
Must have given those guys in the stand a real kick, though, like to actually get under his skin like that. That must have been a brilliant moment for them.
I would have been sitting there smiling if he had a go at me.
Years of hurling abuse at players on the field, and then finally they notice, like, oh my God,
exactly.
They knew we were here all this time.
I don't know what the Costa Rican fella must have said, but I can imagine it was quite sort of strong. Moving from Socceroos to A-League, what's the story there?
The story is that Melbourne Heart still can't score and still can't win, and Victory is still losing. So not a good week for the Victorian clubs, unfortunately.
Oh, but I like how you opened with sinking the slipper into the Heart again. You really weren't going to miss that chance again, were you?
Well, they're doing worse than Victory.
Well, you're just lucky I support the Wanderers. I haven't taken up a Victorian team. I'm still a Wanderers man. How are they doing?
Good. They beat Melbourne last week 1-0. So it was a good game. Probably Melbourne dominated. Wanderers got a goal on the break, and Melbourne just went able to break their defence down.
Now, A Melbourne Heart going to sack their coach. I mean, John Aloisi is known to a lot of people as the, you know, as a heroic socceroo, but it's obviously not working out for him terribly well at Melbourne Heart.
Well, the crowd are calling for his head. There was banners at the last match asking for him to either be fired or resign.
Banners saying sack the coach at the game.
Aloisi out, the banner said. Aloisi out. So I'm not sure if that's a coming out, but I don't think so. I think they're calling for his head.
It's a tough sport, isn't it? You bring the banner along to the game. Like, there's not a lot of unity in this sport, is there?
It's very political. It's very passionate. There's not a lot happening on the pitch often, so people have to entertain themselves off the pitch.
Mm. I'm just trying to imagine if my partner came home with the paints and the fabric and said, right, I'm writing a banner, I'm taking it to the game. I just, you know, to have that passion, it's another thing. I don't think I've ever written a barrier. A banner. Oh, no, actually, I did. When Team New Zealand won the America's Cup back in, it must have been like 95, I ran out onto the road with a banner of America's Cup, of course, drawn. So I'm wrong in that. Anyway, so moving on to the other Sydney teams, we've got Sydney FC and, of course, going a little bit up the coast to the Central Coast Mariners and Newcastle. How are those three doing?
Well, Central Coast, I'm not sure if we spoke about it last week, their managers nicked off to Japan. He got a better offer to go to Japan, Graham Arnold. So he was in the running to get the Socceroos job, missed out on that. So he's off to Japan. They didn't actually play last week. They had a bye because they were playing Wellington. And obviously with New Zealand involved in the qualifiers, half their team was missing. So look, those clubs are going okay. Newcastle was surprised this week, had a 2-1 victory over Brisbane Roar. Brisbane Roar were top of the table. So they had a good win in the wet up in Newcastle. The other match was Perth and Adelaide. It was a 1-1 draw, and it saw the debut of William Gallas, who's a pretty famous player, played for Arsenal and Tottenham, and is pretty well renowned for taking the entire French team with him on strike during the last World Cup and refusing to train.
That's pretty amazing stuff. Hey, what have we got coming up this week? Are the Victory going to be able to turn it around?
Yeah, they've got Adelaide United. They should. They last time...
Yeah.
All but Victory dominated.
You must be on Vodafone, are you? You just sort of seem to have cut out there for a couple of minutes. No, that's all right. I actually have to ask you a quick question. Did New Zealand qualify for the World Cup? I know they did not.
They were far from it. They lost the first leg 5-1.
Yeah.
And the second leg was played this afternoon. They lost 4-2.
Oh. Mm. That wasn't bad, though, against Mexico. What would they be? Top 20?
Yeah, Mexico a good team.
Yeah, it'd be better than Costa Rica, wouldn't they?
No, Costa Rica finished on top of them in qualification.
You're just making these assertions without any understanding of the actual sport, Rolly.
I might just keep agreeing with you, and you know the listeners may not realise. So
I'm going to Google this Costa Rica. They've kind of blown me away. I just thought they were some kind of sort of beach island with about half a dozen players, but this place might be, you know, the go.
They're not doing that. Well, I haven't seen much of them, but they didn't look too good last night.
Yeah, well, we have to ask you one last question. If you were able to name a gay AFL team and they wear rainbow colours, what would you call them?
The Clouds.
The Clouds. All right, we'll add that to the list. So Jason Ball, this is going to looking at starting a gay AFL team here in Melbourne. So I'll suggest to them that Aaron thinks they should be called the Clouds. Thanks, Aaron, for joining us again this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
I hear that it's Smithy's birthday today, so happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, Aaron.
Happy birthday. Yeah, he's 30 or 29?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, there we go. You're on The Locker Room on Joy 94.9.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
You're in The Locker Room on Joy 94.9, 3 minutes to eight. Smithy, we've had a couple more come through on the SMS machine. We've got the Rainbow Rhinos and the Purple Panthers. What do we think about those?
I reckon we've got to keep trying.
Yeah?
Yep. I reckon. But you know what I would say about the gay AFL team? Mm. I reckon any mainstream club who puts up their hand to host a gay and inclusive team is going to get an absolute avalanche of publicity. I reckon the media will be all over it.
Mm.
And I reckon it's a huge opportunity for a club to get some more sponsorship and exposure. Like, I reckon you'd be crazy to turn it down if Jason, his crew, came to you and said, can you host our a gay and inclusive team. I mean, you'd be on the footy show, you'd be on all the media. I think there'd be huge interest in it.
So basically, you're a suburban AFL team. You want media coverage, money, and more memberships. It sounds like you should get on the Jason Ball train.
Yeah.
And train, I like that. And invite them to join your club.
I reckon it's a goer.
Mm. All right, so we've got so thanks to our guests today. We've had Jason Ball, who's starting up two gay AFL teams. We've had Monumental from the roller derby final and of course, boot camp.
And we've had Duncan Irvine from Grace's Cricket Club as well. And, of course, Aaron doing our regular A-League bit.
Soccer bit. Oh, well, of course, Mr. Irvine from the Grace's Cricket has got the gashes.
We're going to have to find some more about the gashes, I think.
So if you know of any Australians currently living in London or you're heading over and you want to get involved, go to Grace's Cricket, I don't know, .com something. Just Google it and get in touch with them and have a gin and tonic. Smithy, the Lay Link ladies, it's a bit of a tongue twister, are waiting outside to bring us their fantastic show.
They might want to talk about that soccer stadium in Qatar.
Oh, yes, I never thought about that. So, yes.
Time for us to hit the showers.
It's time to... it's a bit hot in here. You've been in the locker room with Rowley and Smithy on Joy at 94.9.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9. Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station. Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zemiro.
Hi, this is James Rain.
Hi, this is Cameron Daddo.
Hi, this is Beck Runger.
Hey, this is the Potbellies.
Hi, this is Roger Sanchez.
Hi, this is Tina Cousins.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack from Fun.
Hi, this is Casey Donovan.
Hi, hello there. Hi, this is Frank Woodley, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, which is preferable than Sadness FM.
Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.